Welcome to season two of the Power of Singing podcast, which we hope will encourage you to take up singing, keep singing, or at least listen to singing. Our panel is made up of the five members of the Santosha Voice Group, Heather Fetro, Joseph Garate, Joyce Wells, Rich McKinney, and myself, Susan Mohini Kane. First, we have Heather Fetro, a professional classical soprano and teacher from the Washington, D.C. area who specializes in music by women composers and who is an active freelance soprano in the classical world. So, welcome, Heather.
Thank you, Susan. Great to be here.
Next, we have Joseph Garate, an excellent tenor and teacher who does many classical gigs all over Southern California and who is the lead singer and writer for the band Diamonds. Joseph writes deeply personal songs. Joseph is passionate about music for folks with special needs and is also a DJ. Welcome, Joseph.
Hello, everybody. Thank you.
Joyce Wells is a beautiful singer, songwriter, and vocal coach from upstate New York. After teaching music in elementary school for many years as well, she's turned her focus now to her program that she calls Enjoy Your Sound. Through this, she guides people to discover and connect with their unique voice for speaking and singing. Welcome, Joyce. Next, we have Rich McKinney, who is a composer, pianist, and choral conductor from Missouri, who used to be a beautiful singer before he lost his vocal cords to Agent Orange exposure in Vietnam. Rich has a YouTube channel that has posted over 1,000 piano pieces and is currently teaching composition and composing for local choirs. Welcome, Rich. Both Lakshmi and Rich were muted when they said thank you, but that's okay. We heard them say thank you, and we're going to move on. My name is Susan Mohini Kane. I'm a former opera singer and college professor turned singer-songwriter and teacher, both online and here in the Los Angeles area. I'm the founder of the Santosha Voice Group, LLC, which provides expert information, inspiration, and opportunities around singing that are eminently doable and accessible for all levels of singers, from professional to emerging professional to amateur to shower singers. Everyone in this group believes that singing and the resulting music we make is powerful and life-transforming, and we'd love for you to join in. Our topic for this season is the power of singing in harmony. Each of us will share our own personal stories and then share a recording of ourselves singing a song that illustrates our story. Each of us also has a question for the others on the panel on the same topic, so afterwards we'll have a little informal discussion after each song. Okay, now I'll turn it over to Rich McKinney to introduce this season and kick it off with his story, song, and discussion question for the group. Welcome, Rich.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you all. I'm going to start my comments by saying that I might not be who you would expect to be talking about the power of singing, but I do have a different perspective, perhaps, than most of you. Thankfully, I have always loved to sing. I believe I fell in love with music when my mother was doing housework and playing the radio. I know hundreds of songs that I don't know where I learned them, and I think it was then, sitting on the floor by the ironing board. From there, we went to church often in my life, and the choirs and the people sang in the congregation celebratory songs, songs of joy, and that was so much fun and so uplifting. And the piano player was named Norma, and she would dance all over the piano, and I loved that so much. And I always remember thinking, I wish I could play the piano like Norma, and now I do. And that's really a joy for me. From then, I wrote my sister into singing with me, and she became my first victim of my own musical direction. And she has survived, you should know that. After that, I would join the boy choir, and from there with school choirs and college and so on and so on. So I've had quite a bit of experience, so I'm hanging around for more experiences. For me, the most wonderful music is voices and song. I don't care if they're in tune. I don't care if their precision is perfect. I care that they sing in harmony. And I would value that even if we're all singing one note in unison, we are in harmony immediately. And that's why I consider this a community of harmony. I remember to further explain that. I think the national anthem is the most beautiful when there are no rock stars or hip-hop stars adding their embellishments. I think it should only be sung by all the people in the arena. But I'm not sure who to write to about that. So I just take it as it is. I wrote my first arrangement when I was a junior in high school. I woke up one night in the middle of the night. I had a quartet, and my drama teacher had asked me to put together an act of a quartet for between the acts of a melodrama we were doing. After that performance, we became quite popular, and had so many last-minute requests that we started to call ourselves the Minutemen. I wrote my first arrangement one night when we were singing anyway, and I took it to them. And when I heard the notes that I put on paper manifested in a human voice, that was it. I just love writing choral music, and I've written it all kinds of music. String quartet with the, band, orchestra, whatever. But my love is choral music, and I love it because of harmony. I really prefer a cappella choirs, but I think sometimes it's nice to have some frou-frou going on. That's really a choice. I can play the piano pretty well, but my purpose was always to support singers. So I played so that they would feel like there was an orchestra with them. And even if I was the only one singing, it was the same effect for me. So I guess I'm pretty selfish. When I lost my vocal cords, I did not lose my voice. My voice is in my music, and it's still my voice. I was doing all kinds of things at that point, but obviously I had to change some direction. I decided that if you can do anything you like, then you can learn to like anything you do. And so that's what I consider going forward. I'm going to play for you next a composition of mine. You are lucky that I'm not singing it, but this is a recording of my community choir in 2011, Kirksville, Missouri Community Choir. The song is Wait on the Lord, and it's from the text is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31. And I think you'll recognize the lyrics of the scripture. I want to say finally that my choir was not auditioned. I don't believe in auditions unless you can provide something for the people who don't know anything. So I think that's important. I want to say before we play this that we forget about the importance of silence. I believe in silence as a place in music, and when we ignore that silence, we interrupt the sound. So silence demands to be heard. So I'm saying that it makes listening all the more important. Silence belongs with music. After we play this music, I have one more comment. So I will have Susan play the music now. Thank you for your attention.
Beautiful.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, Drew, and this when people are
that
together.
That was wonderful.
Thank you. When people are together and singing, there is harmony. This is one of the elements of the power of music. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you so much. That was so beautiful. Do you have a question for the group now? A discussion question?
Yeah, my question is, who or what made you realize you were a singer and that it was going to be a part of your life forever?
I have an answer, Rich. This is Heather here. I love that piece, Rich, by the way. That was so beautiful. Rich, is that published somewhere? I just want to say I'm such a fan of that piece, Rich. It really brought me some beautiful emotional moments there. So thank you for that. The first time I felt like a singer was when I was asked by my high school choral director to sing solo in O Holy Night on the big Christmas concert, holiday concert, it would now be called. And that was an important moment for me because I was asked. I didn't need to even audition. She just somehow knew that that would fit me. And I was so honored to do that. And when we had a big new auditorium that had been built at the high school, the sound system was like state of the art, it was very exciting to get to do that solo. So as I got ready for it, you know, we had dress rehearsal, everything was, you know, perfect and wonderful. But then in the concert, I think I might have been like 5 or 6 measures into the solo, and the microphone like blew out in like the loudest like cacophony of sound that you could ever imagine. And I was thinking back, I was like mortified, like, you know, gosh, I broke it with my voice or something. Of course, that wasn't the case. But at the time, you know, I remember having to sort of like recover right on the spot there and get back and start all over again and sing it again. And that's when I knew I had that in me, because I just sort of was able to brush that off and go right back into it. I thought, oh my gosh, like, I didn't know I could do that, you know, kind of recover so quickly. And so, yeah, that was the moment that I knew, oh, like I have a lot more, tenacity and persistence and stuff around singing than I had imagined that I would. I think I would have thought before that I would have, you know, shied away from doing anymore. Like, nope, forget about that. That didn't go well, but I wanted to get back out there and do it.
Great, Andrew.
Thanks.
This is Joyce, and I'm still not. Oh, there we go. So I still have it. I remember my mother was the person who first made me realize that I was a singer. I mean, just I think because of, I mean, I was singing all the time, but she was the one who sort of recognized that it was really not just my interest, but that I had abilities, and she just started, you know, putting me in all kinds of situations, whatever I wanted musically, she would try to support that. And also letting me know that that was something I should be able to do and enjoy. And she recognized it. But I think the moment, I was growing up and doing all kinds of singing. It was the main thing in my whole life. But when I was in my early 20s, and I was playing with a duo. Another guy and I were playing, you know, around in clubs around in Seattle, which is where I lived at the time. And, you know, doing okay there. But one day someone came up to us who wanted to manage us, wanted to sign us, had like a big vision of where we could go and what we could do. And I didn't ultimately go with that manager, but that was the time when I saw, oh, you know, there's people listening, and there's that I could actually, you know, make, as you said, a career path out of that if I chose to. So that was the moment, I think.
Thank you for that story. I think we do need sometimes just somebody to get his own speed bumps.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I don't want to sound too, you know, insidery or nepotistic or anything like that, but I think the person that really made the biggest impact on my singing is Susan. Just because of the way that we know each other, you know, before I met her and before I went to college, I was this, you know, actor. I was an acting guy that had a decent voice. just had, could carry a tune and could stay in tune and could, you know, had a, people told me I had a pleasant voice and I would get solos and choirs and things like that. But I had this little itty bitty tiny voice that, you know, what didn't have a lot of confidence to it. And I remember when I first showed Susan something, I was very nervous and very kind of quiet and, you know, and after I had a couple of things and a couple of little opportunities and a couple of solos, and I was cast in an opera and in a light opera at in school that Susan was kind of not directing but kind of overseeing, and I was given a lead part because you know, again, I people were seeing things in me that I didn't necessarily see myself, and after, you know, a few months and of people kind of nourishing me and really, I mean, really when I say people, I mean, mostly Susan, but, you know, a few teachers here and there and, you know, people kind of nourishing me and kind of watering me like a plant, you know, I kind of came out on the stage, like one of the very first, I don't know, first performances, first dress rehearsals, first scenes. And I, you know, again, after several months of studying and practicing and learning all these new ideas about technique and things, I started singing and my voice was so much louder and so much more resonant than I had ever heard myself be before. And it's not that the, you know, it's not that the vocal technique is what made me feel like a singer. It was just all of the confidence. It was all the kind of scaffolding that I had gotten, you know, and certainly wouldn't have had that without Susan, but it was all of that whole experience as a, you know, younger person. So that's when I became a singer, or felt like one.
Imagine my surprise. Really, that was a wonderful way to acknowledge the person who has been an influence in my life for a very long time. So I think she connects us all very, very well. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you. We have such a mutual admiration society here in this group. I love that. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Joseph. Wow. I feel really touched. Thank you. I think it was just becoming an actor and a singer together that went, you know, you were really, that was where you were comfortable, your comfort zone. So anyway, it was beautiful to see how you've grown through the years too. You know, your voices can do anything now. It's like super voice. But anyway, you know, to answer your question, Rich, for me, when did I start to feel like a singer? I swear I still have trouble thinking of that today. And I feel like I have been performing on stages in front of audiences and, you know, like in gotten professional gigs with Chicago Symphony and with, you know, like all sorts of things. And I still don't quite ever feel like I'm a singer yet. You know, like it's like maybe something in my mind thought, oh, you know, I'll get there. I'll make it someday. You know, it's kind of related to the question that I had in the last season. But I do feel like now, just now, as I have really put everything aside and focused my whole life on my own singing, and then taken all the support from all those years and decades of singing that are standing behind me like a mountain, you know, supporting me, I feel like, oh, I might, it's hard for me even to say singer, songwriter, or soprano, or whatever, when I put that as my bio. But now I feel like it's about time that I do that. And there is one person who, and this is even the thing that's in the back of my mind. I have a meditation teacher, and I was, you know, asked to do some music at this meditation event. And afterwards I got to talk to her and she commented on the music, you know, and that there was something a little bit off about it. And I said, yeah, I knew that there was something a little bit off. And she said, but you're a musician, you know, and that moment I'm like, why don't I just accept it? Let's just accept it now. I'm a musician. I'm a singer. But even my husband has to tell me all the time, you know, remember, when you're singing, you're happy. When you're not singing, you're not. So I guess that makes you a singer. So anyway, that's kind of a long answer to that. But that's my answer. Thanks, Rich.
Again, not really a surprise. And I think music is really terribly important to all of us. And we believe that it can be terribly important in your life to You don't have to be a great singer. You just have to be yourself. And we think that's a healthy thing to do. Thank you again for your attention.
You've just heard the first of 5 stories, songs, and discussions on the power of singing in harmony. Episode 1 featured Rich McKinney and his stunning a cappella choral work entitled Wait on the Lord. If you're interested in getting a copy of this piece so your choir can sing it, please visit our website, www.santoshavoicegroup.com. Rich is very generous with his music and would just love for your choir to be singing it. Stay tuned for episode number 2, which features Joyce Wells' story, song, and discussion with the Santosha Voice Group on the power of singing in harmony. To learn more about our group members, please visit the podcast page on our website, again, www.santoshavoicegroup.com, and that is S-A-N-T-O-S-H-A, Santosha. You are now listening to another piece by Rich McKinney called I'll Share My Music. The singers on this recording are Joseph, Heather, Joyce, and Susan, and the pianist is Rich himself. This piece is also available on our website. Thank you for listening to episode 1 of the Power of Singing podcast, season 2, The Power of Singing in Harmony. And here's our wish for you. May your 2023 be filled with harmony. See you next time.
To share.